Amen. Throw your expired foods in a basket, your toilet paper that the mice chewed up. Anything like that'll work. Just kidding. Oh, you've never had mice chew up toilet paper, huh? Listen, I just sent out a text message to the church. I felt led to type it. While I was typing it, I felt the Lord tell me, you tell them, thus saith the Lord. And I did. And so I want to really try and grab your attention today. I've been saying from the beginning of the year that this is going to be a different year because God's going to take us places that we haven't walked yet. Now, people like to hear that until they realize sometimes where you're going to walk sometimes is frightening. Because a greater level of faith means a greater level of unknown and uncertainty. And people don't like to not know, and they don't like to be uncertain. So I'm just gonna talk to you about faith for a couple minutes, and we'll see where we decide to go with it. But I really feel in the Holy Ghost that the Lord wants to speak to us. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what that means? If you're not listening, you'll never grow in faith. You will never grow in faith until you learn to apply your ears and your heart to receive. Faith comes by hearing. There's no other scripture that teaches us that it comes any other way. But hearing by the word of God. So when we apply ourselves, when we come to church, or if we're online and we're hearing, the problem I have with online is it does cause people to be lazy. And then when people are watching online, they're getting up and they're going and getting coffee and they're sitting down and they're You know, getting up and running to the restroom or taking the dog outside, that's the problem. I'm thankful that we have it. But when people get used to, and if you're watching online, I'm going to just preach to you, when they get used to using that as their crutch, eventually they won't be hearing if it becomes a regular thing. So, Cole, pray for us, and then we're going to just dig for a couple minutes.
Lord God, I pray for this service, God.
Oh, yes.
God, I pray that you speak to us, God. I pray that you take us places we've never been, God. I pray that, well, God, we'll just be strengthened and encouraged by you, God, and we can get something from this message that we won't forget, Lord, and we can apply it to our life, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. How many of you here have ever, now don't just throw your hand up, I want you to think, you've witnessed God do something miraculous in your life to this point. Maybe God healed you of something. Maybe your life where it is today is that miraculous. Maybe God has done something through blessing you. Has anybody here ever found themselves truly in awe of what God has done? My question to you today is, where does that stop, and or where does it end up? What I mean by that is, at what point do we become content about what God has done in our lives so far? At what point do we no longer look to God to take our faith farther, deeper, higher? How does that look? How does it play out? If you use the scripture, which is the only thing you can use, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the scripture gives us all kinds of examples of faith. Faith is a very generic word. Somebody may say to you, you may say, well, I hope school is canceled tomorrow. And someone else says, well, I have faith that it will be. Very generic. Very selfish. Selfish isn't always bad. It's not always a wrong thing. But what I'm saying is, if we're not careful, we dumb down faith to things that we're just hoping for. But a walk of faith takes you into the unknown arena that is called your future. And it's there that God will continue to do the things that he's done. Here, let me give you just a little nugget. So you find yourself at a crossroad in life. And in that crossroad, you're praying and you're saying, God, I really could use your help here. I really need some strength because I feel like I can't go another day, or I really could use some direction or wisdom. And then over the process of time, it works its way out, and you get beyond that moment and you do the, you know, and you're glad you're, but what you don't sometimes fail to recognize is that was a crossroad of faith. You see, we just take things as they come, and often we don't realize where we are. Am I making any sense? Happy birthday, Sister Tracy. Abraham, when he was to sacrifice Isaac, all he knew was God had required something of him. He did not know that it would be put in the scripture to be read to hundreds of millions, if not billions of people until the end of time. His act of obedience would become a pillar of faith for thousands of generations. And so my question is, how do you know when you're in that place, that valley or that vein of faith building in your life? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. If you hear, I've been telling you that this year will be different, that God's going to do some things differently, that this will be a defining year, it'll be a defining moment. And so, unfortunately, some people will never treat that seriously. They'll just take it as just another nice message, when in actuality, God is trying to say, I am trying to build your faith. I am trying to grow you to places you've never been and to places you've never walked. We pray those prayers sometimes, not really understanding when we step into the unknown. Not even understanding that okay, God answered it. God's not a liar. If he says ask and you shall receive, then you will receive it. The problem is we don't understand it. We don't know when we're stepping out of the boat exactly why we are. We don't know when we're called to put Isaac on the altar why we are. We don't know why he took us to the mountain to spy out Canaan. We don't understand what's at play. We don't understand the moment of time that we're stepping into, because faith doesn't have a measuring stick. You can't gauge it. You can tell when you're almost out of fuel because you have a needle on your car. You ever have one that was broken? But nobody has a needle in their spirit. that shows you when you're empty or full. Nobody has a needle in their spirit to tell you exactly where you are. I had a lady tell me years ago, she got upset at me. I'm good at making people upset at me. And I tried to tell her something and just wouldn't listen. I got tired of the fighting. I said, well, I'm not your pastor. I didn't say it in a mean way. I wasn't saying it in an aggressive way. I've done it long enough. I'm not going to beg you to let me pastor you. If you don't want me to pastor you, fine. You know, go on and do whatever you got to do. Find your YouTube guy, feel good about yourself, and probably be lost. But I'm not going to beg people anymore. And she said, yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. And then she got mad at me. You can't tell me I haven't grown. I said, I didn't tell you you haven't grown. All I said was, I'm not your pastor. I said, but you can't look back at where you came from to where you are today and think that's the end of the road. You're still in the middle of your journey. You still got a long way to go, but you're just trying to celebrate where you've come from, which we should and we can. But sometimes we get too busy celebrating the past and we forsake the future. We forsake what God is doing. Now, I'm going to tell you something in the Holy Ghost. There is such a rich spirit of faith that's in this house because it's going to back up the word. And if people will really latch a hold of this, I have nothing profound. I'm just reading scripture. I'm just going to talk to you. That's all I'm doing. I'm not doing anything more than that because the word will do it all by itself. I found out when we had the meeting, I hope if it's any of you here or you're online listening, because then it's tough when you can't preach people because faith comes by hearing. And I found out that there were some people when we talked about what we were going to raise, they said, oh, my God. You know what that is? That's people who are spying out Canaan. They're saying, no way. No way. We can't do this. Forgetting where we've come from, and I just preached 2 weeks ago a word that God gave me when I was bellyaching about moving forward, and the Lord told me, looking ahead, he said, if you look back and see where I brought you from, I'll do it again. Don't fear. Don't worry about it. And so I preach to you that sometimes we've got to go back before we can go forward. We got to look back and see what God has done. Remind you. It's easy to forget. You know, one day you wake up, you're 53, and you're like, how the heck did I get here? My oldest is getting married. My middle is just getting ready to launch out into life. And my youngest, no one knows where he's at. His head's in a million places. And you say, how do we get here? Because that's the way life happens. I read the scripture to you. You cast seed. Forget about it. I'm going to keep saying it because faith comes by hearing. I'm going to spend this year preaching about faith. So if you get tired of faith, then you stay home and pretend like you're watching online. Because we're going to build it this year. I'm telling you right now, that building's going up. And I'm telling you, God's going to give it in areas you never thought would even be possible. I'm telling you that. I told someone the other day, I told Bishop Ellis, I said, Bishop, I honestly don't even know if we'll wind up having to borrow anything. If we do, I'm okay, but I really don't know if we're going to have to borrow anything. Because I know that we are where God wants us. Now, does that mean that's not going to require anything from us? Of course it is. Of course it is. But God's going to give in other areas if we give in this area. There was a time in my life when I would have thought that was insane. $750,000. Grab that sign, Cole. Hold it right here. Now, we're going to have to hide your pretty face for a minute. He's handsome. Just not because he's my son. He's a handsome boy. Come on right here and stand right here in the bottom. You don't have to look at him. You can hide behind the sign. Now, this ain't what I'm preaching about, but I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. There was a time in my life, if you'd have said, we got to raise $750,000, I said, you're absolutely nuts. And the proof is in the pudding. In the first building, I wanted to buy $100,000 to build this building, borrow $100,000 to build this building. Well, that was stupid. That was David saying I could run through troops and jump over a wall. But God needs blind faith to move things forward. And then we get to the next building and I step my faith up. Now we're going to raise $80,000 instead of 50. God exceeded that. We know how all that played out. And then I remember when I walked into that arena saying we weren't giving anything to missions. And then while he's preaching, while he's here, come over here, stand where everybody can see it. While he's preaching, I feel the Lord dealing with me until finally I looked at my wife and I just blurted out and said, we're going to give 50,000 to missions before. We never did that before. Did we do it? We did. We absolutely did. And so my point was this, and my point is this tonight. To me, this is nothing more than a number. Don't you claim that your father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills if you don't believe that numbers mean nothing to God. Don't you claim that you have faith if your faith is limited to 50,000 or 20,000 or getting your electric bill paid this month or just getting your car to last you another week. What I'm trying to tell you is God is going to take our faith and blow the lid off of it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm telling you right now, we'll hit this. I'm telling you in faith, we'll hit it. We're already almost halfway there, and you didn't even know it. We're almost halfway there, and you didn't even know it yet. And I got some figures that aren't even included in this number yet. I was talking to somebody. You can put it back up if you want. And they said, well, Pastor, they said, what are we doing? What are we going to ask of people? I said, I don't know. I was thinking that myself. I know we did several years ago in 2017 or 16 when we did the other edition. And then while we're talking, I just felt, you know, if everybody did, if 120 people, families, or whatever, gave $2,000, you probably got that in your tax return. Sell your dog. Sell your camper. Sell your car. Sell whatever. If just 120 people in this church gave that, that's $250,000. That's how easy it is. Now watch. I feel it already. And I know some of you, if you had $1 million in the bank, you'd probably give 900,000 of it. I know it. I feel it in your spirit. But you think, but I don't have to give. Listen to me. You give in faith and watch and see what God does. Now listen, I'm not going to push one person this year. I'm not pushing anybody. I've already had people come to me, said one person told me I'm giving 10,000. One person said we're giving 6, and then when we get our bonus, we're giving more on top of that after we tithe off of it. Because there will be some that don't do that. But I'm telling you, we'll do it. We can do it. And you say, well, why? Just so we can build a building. It's not just about building a building. First of all, you have to have the tools if you're going to fulfill ministry. You have to be equipped. And you can get so far off what you've got, but at some point, if we're going to reach the masses, they're going to want their kids coming where there's classrooms, and they're going to want their youth to have a room, and that's just a day and hour that we're living in. They're not going to want to have to bump into each other when they're leaving on a Sunday morning in the back, and things like that. I can tell you're not there yet, but just work with me. So listen, I want to look at Matthew 19:25. I want to read some scripture for you real quick. Matthew 19:25. Now listen, scripturally and statistically speaking, only 2 out of every 12 will believe it. Only 2 out of 12 that spied out Canaan believed it was possible. So I'm just looking for the 2 out of 12. I believe we can hit 5-6 out of 12. I'm not looking for the naysayers. I'm not looking for the doubters. Here's what I'll say. You keep looking to the government for your next stimulus check. Keep listening to the president now for the last 6 months. Say, oh, I'm going to give you 4,000. Oh, I'm going to give you 2,000. Oh, I might not give you 2,000. We might give you 2,000. Or still think about the 2,000. You keep focusing on that. You know what I'm going to focus on? I'm going to keep giving. We stepped up our Christmas Christ giving. We stepped up giving into other areas, and we're going to keep giving and keep giving. And I'm going to give until I can't give anymore. You know why? Because I believe in giving with all of my heart. It's not a lottery ticket. Remember, you plant the seed, don't look for it. Don't sit there and say, okay, God, I didn't know. You just wait and watch what God does. Because God is able. Matthew 19 and 25. And listen to me. Don't talk to me about your lost friend out there in the world. That's why they don't come to church, Pastor. Because all you talk about is money. That's not why they don't come to church. They don't come to church because they don't care about eternity. That is just the excuse they're giving you today. That's not why they don't come to church. Do they not go to the $10 billion hospital when they're sick? Do they not walk into the $100 million mall to buy their $300 tennis shoes because all they want is your money? Do they not walk into a multi-billion dollar restaurant chain because all they're going to ask you for is money when you're done eating that delicious meal? And are they not going to ask you for a 20% tip? Are they not going to beg you for tips when you're getting coffee and when you're getting cookies and when you go to the Cinnabon and when you go to the gas station? Everybody wants a tip now. And most people feel guilty enough to give it. I go to Starbucks once in a blue moon. You know, I want to be a little extra, but after, I'm already paying $6 for a drink. I mean, if that ain't enough to give you, I don't know what to say. Talk to your employer, tell them to give you more money. It's a multi-billion dollar company anyway. You follow me? So Matthew 19:25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them. And he said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What an easy scripture. You see it on signs everywhere. People quote it from time to time. You might find it on a shirt. But do we really believe with God all things are possible? Do we really believe with God all things are possible? Do we really believe it? Brother Lenny, do we really believe with God all things are possible when they give you a diagnosis? Do we really believe, Brother TJ, that with God all things are possible when you've got problems in your body? Do we really believe with God that all things are possible? We don't. The proof, I'm not saying you and me necessarily, but the proof often is in our life. It's in our marriage. It's in our lost children. The proof is in our giving. It's in our tithing. The proof that we don't really believe with God, because if we really believe with God, all things are possible, you would say there's no way possible to outgive God. And again, I don't care what you do. I'm telling you what I'm doing. We've done it our whole life. We've seen it. And listen, my wife is the most practical person in the world. And that's not a knock. And when I go home and she says, listen, I'm not worried one bit about this building fund because I know God's going to give it. When she says that, it's not that she's not a person of faith, but you got to have practicality sometimes to balance out stupidity. And I'm okay being stupid faith, but sometimes you need someone to bring you a little bit down to size. And when she says that to me, you know, that was for me, that was done deal. If that woman's saying it's done deal, it's truth. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all where we are today should be impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible that we have collectively around $4 million in insured property and we owe $350,000. That's impossible. There were people in the community that told me it's impossible. They said, it's impossible. You're not going to finish it. It's not possible. Not just once, but many times. And then when we started the next edition, it's impossible. It's impossible. And it, for me, it's become such a, I don't know if you want to call it a fix or what you want to call it, but I'm ready to dive in not even knowing where the funds are coming from. Because I know what God has already done. And I know that God will do it again and again and again. As long as we're in God's plan, as long as we're in God's timing, and we are, I feel it. I'm confident of it. Because I know that with God, all things are possible. You can't look at the things that didn't go your way and say, what about that? Just because God didn't do it doesn't mean it's not possible. God has a reason why. His ways are higher than ours. We can't even think on the close to the same level as God thinks. On God's worst day, if he can have a worst day, on his worst day when God is sound asleep, and he doesn't sleep, but I'm painting you a picture. On his worst day when he's sound asleep, God's so far ahead of us, we can't even, our heads would spin. Because with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. In Mark 19 and 18, we're reading about the young boy with the unclean spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, and he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be here 23 years and saying, well, God, I'm really not here. And God says, oh, faithless generation. How long do I need to be with you? How many things do I have to do in your midst? Because we forget. We forget about the miracles. We forget about the healings. We forget about where we were, the life that God rescued us from. We forget about the truth that God revealed to us. We forget about the marriages that God fixed because we look at everyone that isn't fixed. And we forget about everything around us. If we forget about what God has done. And we still, day after day, it was biblical. They always were doubting. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asketh his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Cast him into the fire, tore at him. Sounds like torment. Sounds like so many people that we're dealing with today. And I'm just gonna make a very bold and brazen statement with all sincerity. Sounds like a lot of diagnoses. Man has to put a label on it, but God knows what it is. And so does the church. Why can't God deliver your child from their diagnosis? See, I felt it really got sucked up really tight right there. Because we're more comfortable with a man's diagnoses, and we can rectify that in our own brains because they have answers for it. But when I got to step out in faith and believe that God can completely change us and make my child completely normal, I don't want to step that far out in faith. Because what if? But we have so much scripture that tells us that you can have people that are throwing themselves on the ground. They're tearing at themselves. They're in torment. They throw themselves into the fire. And they come and they say, well, Jesus, what do we do? And he said, oh, faithless generation, how long must I be with you? And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Oh, it sounds so easy. We love deep messages. We love sermons that we've never heard before. We think we want our faith to be challenged, but what we are is we're never satisfied with what we have. But sometimes we still cannot get the most basic things in order in our lives. And that is, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things. All things. Not just some things, but all things. Any miracle, any healing, any sign, any wonder, anything. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. If you can just believe. He doesn't say, pray for 4 hours. He doesn't say, well, call the church together, and I believe there's a time for it, and have a week-long prayer meeting. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible. But it's so simple, we can't even grasp it. Because it's got to be harder. It's got to be harder, Brother Klein. It has to be more difficult. God must want me to do something. What can I do? Because we feel better when we're doing. But God says, I do, not you. All you got to do is just believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Sometimes our prayer should not be, okay, God, I'll fast for 4 days this week or for 5 days this week. Maybe our prayer just needs to be, help my unbelief. God, I believe. I stand here before you today. I believe. But God, help my unbelief. You know what my unbelief has always been? You want to know what it's always been? Healing of the body. I've seen it. I've had my own body healed. We've had people in our church healed. I remember even going back to the old building, one of our families, her daughter came up one night. She was probably 10 years old at the time. Big old tumor in her neck, golf ball size, sticking out of her neck. We prayed for her. By the next day, her mother called me and said, it's gone. We're never there again. Was never there again. But you know what? Even though I've seen it, it's always been my Achilles. But God is doing something in my own life, and my faith has taken me beyond where we were, and I need that to be, because I need Brother Lenny to come and to say, hey, they said the cancer's back, and I need to say, no, it's not. And I need to believe with God, all things are possible if you just believe. All things, if you just believe. Let's stop just believing in for the ingrown toenail to be healed, and how about we believe for the cancer to be gone away with? You say, but it's too late, Pastor. You just lost your mom last year. It's not too late. If it wasn't God's time, she wouldn't be gone. I know that's hard for us to accept and reconcile. Listen, we all got to go at some point. I know you don't want to hear that, but God has a reason. He knows why. Everything can't be explained. But that doesn't mean that God won't do, can't do, doesn't want to do. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to take our faith further than it's ever been before. The faith promise that God has given us is this. If you have faith, I promise I'll do it. Amen. That's it. Nothing more. God's not looking for more. And when we step out in faith, God said, I will do it. Do you know what it is when you preach and just say you're talking about a building program? And we never take special offerings in this church, hardly ever. Once in a blue moon, we'll do it for missions, but we don't do that. We function off what we have. But once in a while, God's going to say, "Hey, you got to step out and you got to do this." But I forgot what I was going to say. I'll come back to it. It'll come to me. Mark 14:36. They don't have my scriptures, so I just got to give them a minute to get them up there. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, all things are possible. You can take this cup away. You can make it so I don't have to bear this cross. You can make it so I don't have to go through this pain and this sorrow and this suffering. But not my will. You see, true faith doesn't expire if God doesn't do. True faith knows God can and God will, but if he doesn't, blessed be the name of the Lord anyway. Because I know that God still can. He just chose not to. I can't answer it. I'm not going to question God. But we've got to get to the point where we know that God can and that God will. Our faith cannot be altered because he didn't once before, here or there. Our faith can't be altered just because we prayed for somebody and it didn't work out. That cannot alter our faith. I don't know if I've said this before, but I'm going to say it now. I told my wife 3 months before my mom passed that she wasn't going to make it. I knew it. I felt it in my spirit. I knew it was God's time. I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to accept it. But I knew it was God's time. But I wasn't going to let that rattle my faith whatsoever. Because a true miracle in her life was the fact that I know where she's going. Because the true miracle was the day that someone drove a bus down Guy Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. And the true miracle was the fact that this church exists because she got on that bus and got her kids on that bus. The true miracle is that Jonas is here today because of her. We could say that every person in this church is here today. Now, some of you may have had a church before, whether it's truth or not, but because she got on that bus. And why'd she get on that bus? For no other reason other than somewhere inside of her, she believed that life could be better if I get on this bus. That's faith. Sometimes you never see the physical results of faith, but we look for only the physical results. But the results of that step of faith was so monumental that eternity will be changed for hundreds or thousands of people because of it. So the faith promise is he will if you will. Now, I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to boldly declare right from this pulpit, so it's on record. You can't, I won't try and deny it, and you can't deny that I said it. And that is, if this church gets behind what we're putting forward with this building program, if 120 people will say, and Pastor Klein, you forgive me, but we're going to allow you into that blessing too if you guys want to be a part of that. Now, not just you, but I'm saying the church in Ashtabula. Why? Because if this church remains healthy, that church will always remain healthy, and so will Conneaut. And I leave that to him, and I'm not saying that to put him under any pressure whatsoever, but if we'll get behind that, if we will, God will. God is going to send more resources from other places in order to make sure that goal is fulfilled. Because that's what true faith is. If we do, he will. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. And now I'm not done yet. Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. What that means first is that he is. He is God. He is the I am. He is everything. Sometimes we believe that, but we don't. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so, we need to understand, as we've known and we've heard this many times before, it's not possible to please God until you believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, let me just say that backwards for a moment. It should be our obsession that we please God. Our prayer must be, God, I hope that I please you today. God, I hope that my life is pleasing to you. Because there are some things in your life you won't change until you realize it doesn't please God. You can justify anything you want to justify. But when you realize it doesn't please God, you see, he may still love you, doesn't mean he's pleased with you. He may still bless you. It doesn't mean he's pleased with you. It doesn't mean he's pleased with our decisions. But when my prayer becomes, God, I've got to please you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So my faith pleases God. When I walk up to the mountain to spy out my promise and I say we can, God is pleased. When you walk away from this church and you say we can do this, God is pleased. It's never about what it is, but it's about our willingness to trust God and believe that it is possible. Because with God, all things are possible. And I'm going to keep saying it. You know why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it until you actually believe it with me, that it is absolutely possible. James 2 and 17, once we have decided that we want to please God, because without faith it's impossible to please God. Once we've decided that, we also must understand, in James 2, 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And then verse 26 in the same chapter says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, to simply put that into context for you, you can say you believe, but God says, show me. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I show you my faith by my works. God says, show me. Honey, can you come get ready to play for me? So it's not enough just to say it. It's not enough just to believe it. But God says, if you believe it, if you really have faith, there's got to be action. Your action will prove your faith. God, I'm coming to a close. I'm not trying to blow your mind today. I'm trying to just build your faith a little bit. And so for me, I'll speak for myself. For me, that action is going to be shown in my pocketbook. You do whatever you want to do. That's where I'm showing my faith, because that's where I feel like God wants me to do, wants me to give. You know why? Because money is just a figment of man's imagination. It's just a system that we put in place. God didn't print the dollar bill. God's not beholden to it. God gave everything. And so money is what we hold dearest because we believe money makes the world go round, and it does in some way. But God has a way around man's system. And so when we tell our little stories of faith, the little things that God has done in our lives, oh, I gave a 20 in the offering, and someone came up to me and said, here, Pastor, someone told me to give you this $20. Oh, woo, that's great, and that's good, and it is good. But all those are just little, God saying, watch this. You're worried about 20 bucks. Keep your 20 bucks. I'll show you what I can do. And then, boy, I wish I could get someone to believe me. When I was in Ukraine 2 years ago, when the Lord spoke this to me, it's really what completely just almost shifted my entire life. When God began to talk to me about the seed and the sower. I've shared it with you. I'm going to say it again. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And he said, he who soweth little will reap little. And then the Lord helped me understand. You're still reaping. Sometimes we can be deceived by what we reap. Oh, look. God sent, I had no groceries, and God sent someone today with a loaf of bread. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's nice. But man should not live by bread alone. I wouldn't even celebrate if someone showed up to my door with a loaf of bread if I was hungry, because I'd say, God's trying to teach me a lesson of faith. And then he said, but he who soweth bountifully reaps bountifully. And then God said, you can sow sparingly, and you will reap, because I keep my word. Or you can sow bountifully and you'll reap bountifully. I believe it. I believe it with every ounce of my being standing here before you today. And I'll prove it by my works this year. My wife told me a year or so ago. She was upset because we were like the sixth top giver in our church. And she knows these things because she prints out the statements. She's not balancing them out, thinking, let's compare now. But she sees what's ours. And she goes, I don't like that. She said, I want to be the top giver. I said, you go, girl. Let's do it. Let's figure out a way to be the top giver. Listen, you're just talking. I'm going to wrap it up. I got one more scripture. But you're talking and looking at the wrong guy. Because I've watched the progression over the years. I've watched it. I've lived it. I've lived where, as a church, we had nothing. Nothing. And where we struggled to pay the little minuscule electric bills over in that little building over there. And then I've lived and watched the electric bill hit $3,800 a month to the point where it made me so angry, I told my wife one day, I'm not even opening them up anymore because I can't look at it. It makes me angry. I want to choke the life out of somebody at the illuminating company. It's the truth. And guess what? Now, listen to me. I'm being as serious as I can be. Every month it got paid. We had an electric bill bigger than our mortgage every month for years. And it got paid. Every month, God did it. And he did it. And he did it. I feel the Holy Ghost, man. I don't know about you, but I feel like jumping out of my skin right now. Because he kept doing it, and he kept doing it, and he kept doing it. You know how much our insurance is? I don't want to tell you, because you'd probably fall over. Our insurance is probably $25,000 a year. That's what it takes to insure this building, that building, and Ashtabula, the building, and Conneaut, the building over there, whatever we have, all of our vehicles. Yeah, it's about $20,000, $25,000 a year. At least $20,000, I know that. It's doubled since we built this building. It was $10,000 a year when we built this building. It's doubled. But guess what? With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. God just keeps doing it. God shows us. He shows me that God is not beholden by the economy. He's not paralyzed by the economy. He's not complaining. He's not campaigning for the next president that's going to make America great again. I'm not again. Listen to me. I'm all for it. I'm voting. I'm a voting fool, man. You know, I got one of those stupid polls on my phone. I don't do much, but you going to vote in the next election? Absolutely, I am. They didn't have an absolutely button, so I just put yes. But guess what? I am not putting my faith in a man. Because you know what? Because I'm going to tell you why. I haven't got a stimulus check since COVID. That ain't going to cut it. And all you people that got, oh, my God, we're getting $4,000, $3,000. How far does that get you in 5 years? But guess what? All during that time, God just kept doing and doing and doing and doing and doing. And I keep looking, and I can't understand it. I said it for years. You don't believe me. You think I'm just talking. I'm telling you, when I look at it, that's why I don't look at it anymore. I don't want to spy out Canaan. You know why? If God said it, he'll do it. Because if I look at it, I'm going to look at the walls. And I'm going to look at the giants. I'm going to look at the impossibilities. I don't want to see it. Just march me in, God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Just march me. That's all I want to do. Just march me in. You don't want to know where you're marching? I don't want to know one thing. I learned to swim by pushing me off the cliff into the water hole. And when I start sinking, they come down and get me. And that's the only way I know how to do life, and it will never change. I had a pastor told me I was crazy years ago because I told him I don't look at the finances anymore. He said, I think you're nuts. His church ain't budged from where it was 30 years ago. But you know what? We're going into our third building program. And when there was a time when we had $8,000 in the bank and we started this one, now we got almost $400. Tell me God can't do it. Tell me God. Now listen, I know it's a lot of money to a lot of people. And some people, they think about, they could do what I could do with that money. That's your problem. That's not ministry minded. That's not going to me. And I'm going to tell you this too. I'm going to toot my horn. I'm going to toot her horn. You know why that money's there? Because you got a pastor and a pastor's wife who's very stringent and who complains when you leave the daggone back doors open because the heat's going out of the sanctuary. That's why. Man, I just feel so good right now. 1 Peter 1:7. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I feel faith. I feel like I could jump out of my skin right now. I feel it so strong. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, wow, God tests my faith. He sure does. It's a test. Remember Bishop Nichols said it. Someone reminded me recently, who was it? I know you're here. That Bishop Pasley said years ago, said everything's a test. Who said that? Sister Diane did. And I said, yeah, I know Bishop Nichols. She goes, no. She goes, Brother Pasley said that, blah, 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 blah. And she told me the time he said it. And I thought, these men must know something that we don't. Everything is a test. That the trial of your faith, speaking of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, talking about our faith. Your faith is the most valuable thing you ever possess in your entire life. Though it be tried with fire, it's got to be revealed. God's got to reveal it through difficulties. He's got to reveal it through really strenuous tests, through altars and Isaacs. I feel like right now in the Holy Ghost, and I've always struggled saying these kind of things because I don't want to be the prosperity guy. I don't get nothing out of this stuff, just for the record. They're not going to increase my salary. Brother Vince didn't say, hey, if you can get this much in the building program, we'll give you a percentage of it. He never said that to me. He wouldn't say that to me. Now, I mean that funny because Brother Vince's faith has grown abundantly since he first started coming to this church. Be tried through fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith and the rapture work together. They have something to do with each other. That my faith, the trial of my faith being much more precious than of gold. What I was going to tell you a minute ago, what I really felt in the Holy Ghost, what I really feel to say is I just really believe that God is going to ask people to put some of their possessions, their Isaacs, on the altar of faith and sacrifice it to the Lord. Give it for the kingdom. Give it for the ministry. I believe that. I feel it. What does that mean for you? I don't know. That's up to you. I know what it means for me. I know exactly what it means for me. And I can tell you, it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not buying NFL tickets. I'm getting rid of a few things that I really enjoy. But I'm okay with it. Because I feel like it's God's will. I'm good. And I know what I'm putting on the altar. I know what I feel, what I believe. The trial of your faith. If you take nothing out of this, take this today, that God is going to test our faith. He's going to test our faith. Abraham, what an example. How many in this life? I know he's sleeping, but can I again? Take your only son, whom you love. Take him to Moriah. I want you to go a couple days' journey, because faith costs you. And then when you get there, I want you to take him up to the top of the mountain, build an altar. God's not even going to make the altar for you. He's going to tell you to build it yourself. And I want you to take the most precious thing that you own, that you have, that you possess. Own was a bad word. I want you to put him on the altar. Here he is, God. God, why would you ask that? I don't understand, God. It doesn't make any sense. I know, because with men, it's impossible. But with what I'm going to do, with God, all things are possible. This is a trial of your faith. When you take something that's valuable to you, and you say, here it is, God, I'm gonna put it into the kingdom. It's a trial of your faith. Only God knows what's on the other side of those walls in Canaan. Only God knows. That's why you can't get into Jericho unless God takes the walls down. Only God knows what his future is. And I'm proud of you, Kenny. I mean that. I am proud of you. I'm proud of the father that I see you wanting to be. I'm proud of you for hanging in there over the years. And God will honor it. Sorry. You heathens clapped and you startled the baby. Take your son. What if this? I'm finishing. But what if? Just what if? I'm only talking to the faith people. I'm not talking to people who value their possessions too much. What if God is asking? God says, I'm going to do it. If there are people that will take their only and put it on the altar and give it to me. What if? I believe it. Because I believe if you sow bountifully, that's how you're going to reap it. Brother Kao, I want you to come up, please. And I want you to pray faith. Is that okay? I'm putting you on the spot last second. I feel such a, and I'm thankful for all of you because I feel such a strong level of faith in this place. I feel it. I just feel it. I want you just for a few moments, when Brother K.O. prays, to put whatever, and tell God, I'm going to put on the altar whatever you want me to put in the altar. I'll do it. Oh, I feel it. I believe it. I believe it.
Why don't we all just come to the front if you feel that moving of faith that's definitely in the building right now in Jesus' name. And before we even enter into that place of faith and pray that prayer of faith, why don't we just lay our egos and lay all of that on the altar? I was driving down the road today, and I've been thinking about what God has been doing in our lives. And the Lord began to deal with me and gave me kind of like a scenario between an eagle and a crow. And because personally I've been going through some situations, and the Lord began to deal with me about the eagle. And the eagle will go to higher heights. So crows, what crows do is they will try to attack an eagle, and they'll peck on its back. And so what eagles do, they will ignore that crow, and they will go to higher heights where crows cannot go. And so what I'm trying to say is today, are you an eagle or are you a crow? So what pastor's preaching here today is he's preaching to eagles. He's preaching to those that you may be gliding in a certain dimension right now. And what he's trying, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. What he's trying to do is awaken that eagle inside of you. You see, you've got crows pecking at your back, keeping you from going to a higher dimension in faith. And so we're going to pray. Is this all right, Pastor? Am I okay? We're going to pray that God will take us into a higher dimension of faith, like an eagle. Amen? Go ahead. Let's raise our hands. There is such a witness of the Holy Ghost. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we submit our hearts to you today. We submit our lives to you, our spirits today. God, help us, Lord. Let that eagle awaken inside of us today, that we can soar to higher heights in the spirit, in faith, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, the crows that try to attach themselves to us, that constantly peck at us, Lord, let us ignore those things to go to higher heights in the spirit, higher heights in faith, in the name of Jesus Christ. We understand without faith it is impossible to please you. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we submit our lives to you today. We submit everything to you today in faith, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, your word says that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us, Lord. And we believe, God, that you're going to do it. We believe, God, that you can give us raises on the job. We believe, Lord, that we can go higher and further than we've ever been for the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, God has the ability to change nothing into something. He has the ability to put coins in fish's mouths for his purpose. Hallelujah. Pastor, would it be okay if I tell one story? This story comes from a man in the Philippines, a presbyter in the Philippines. He was a man, he had absolutely no money. He was pastoring a church. He had no money to feed his family. Absolutely no money. So he began to pray to the Lord and say, God, I have no money to feed my family. I've got two young children and a wife at home, but I have absolutely no money to feed my family. He said what happened next was crazy. At first, I thought he was making it up to trying to get me all whacked out in my mind. But anyways, he said, K.O., he said, this monkey all of a sudden was out biting people. He was just biting people, and the monkey got on my lap, and he said, I tried to reason with the monkey. He said, but the monkey, I thought, was going to bite me. So I was going to kill this monkey. And he said, all of a sudden, the monkey turned around and looked at me. He said, when the monkey looked at me, it opened up its mouth, and guess what was in the monkey's mouth? He said, money to be able to buy food for my family. I'm going to tell one more story. That same man, same situation, he's praying again. And he says, God, I have no food for my family. Have absolutely nothing. Walking down the street, and out of nowhere, as he begins to pray, a fish appears on dry ground. There's no water anywhere. There's no fish market anywhere. He said, K.O., the fish appeared as if it was swimming. Why am I saying this? Because faith, if you ask anything in my name, in faith believing, it shall be done. You see, I got to just say this. I apologize, Pastor. I'm not trying to take over. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you come from the gutter. If you have faith to believe that he can do absolutely anything, he will perform. And being a part of the body here in this local assembly, God is doing something together with all of us. So if you're blessed, the church is blessed. And because God's hands on the church, God's hands on you. Yeah. All right, I hope that was all right.
The mountains are still being moved. And strongholds are still being loose. Yes, God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. Yes, God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do.
Do
Miracles happen when you move.
Come on. Let's just take another minute and lift up our voices while there. Maybe grab someone's hand beside you and pray. Pray faith upon them. Hallelujah. Let's receive the words that Brother K.O. prayed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Miracles happen when
I will not be the same at the end of this year. I will not be the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room.
You'll never come out of Egypt, and it's not going to be everything you thought it was going to be. That big step of faith sometimes gets you out, but then it's the surroundings of the uncertainty. Sometimes it swallows people up. Don't be afraid if things don't work out exactly the way you thought they might. When you get this grand vision, just hold on to God's word. Hold on to his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen. I want to sing one more song. Let's just give God praise for what he's going to do in your life, in your home, in your family, and through our faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I pray for every single person here. God, I pray for those that have watched online today. God, for those that could not make it, may they at some point, God, hear that their faith might excel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I surrender. Let it